The question I have this morning, what is peace exactly? And we're going to talk about that here. So let's begin at the very beginning. Adam and Eve in the garden. Everything was truly, at this point, peaceful and serene. Adam was playing fetch with lions and tigers. Eve was riding bears around the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were together working in the garden where there were no weeds or thistles. Wouldn't that be nice? And the soil was perfect always, and everything grew perfectly. They seriously were living in a world of true peace at this moment. And then enters the slimeball Satan, who asks them a question and tempts them with the question, did God really say, if you eat this fruit, etc., which is the exact same tactic he uses with you and me. Did God really say you shouldn't do this or that or whatever? That's how he tempts us to sin. And they succumbed when they ate that fruit. And ever since that moment, there has been no peace in this world. That's been a long time. Couples argue. Families fight. There's racial, ethnic tension and division all over the world. Everybody seems to be going to battle about this or that or something like politics, religion, even Christianity. We can't even get along. And even sports teams. And then there is those things in our lives that also cause the opposite of peace within our own life, kind of like our personal finances, our mental health, our physical health, debt, death, and fear. These things also all cause us, you know, no peace in our lives, right? And it's just like what I asked the kids in the children's message, what are you scared of? What brings you fear? So I found this survey. It's not a Christian survey. It wasn't done just with Christians. It was just done with people in America, asking them what are their greatest fears at this moment. And this was just done like 4 years ago. And they came up with 100 of them. I'm not going to go through all 100. But here's the top five. Number one fear, corrupt government officials. They fear that over death. Second is the pollution of oceans, lakes, and rivers. The third is pollution of drinking water. Fourth, not having enough money for the future. And five, people I love becoming seriously ill. So people are worried more about their drinking water than their loved ones. So some of the other things that made this list are terrorist attacks, nuclear weapons attack, the pandemic, heights, I'm scared of heights, murder by a stranger, public speaking, insects. Number 71 was demons. Number 80 was God. Number 88 was zombies. And blood was number 94. So these are people's fears. And fear is where we find the disciples in our passage here this morning from John chapter 20. And you can follow along in beginning in verse 19. On the evening of that day, this is still Easter day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. And Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. And I'm going to stop there for a second here. So fear caused the disciples to literally lock themselves up. When has fear done this to you? When has God called you to do something or for you to step out in faith, but your fear caused you to, quote unquote, lock yourself up? This is where the disciples are. And even though they have spent 3 years with Jesus, with this man, during his ministry, this man who is true man and true God, they witnessed Jesus doing amazing things, like walking on water, like turning water into wine, like healing lepers, paralytics, people that were possessed by demons. They even saw him raise people from the dead. They witnessed all these things. And then they see him die on the cross, and 3 days later, he's alive again. And this is something that he had told them already. And where are the disciples? They are scared of what might happen to them. And they are experiencing no peace at all. And in comes Jesus. Actually, like I told the kids, he didn't really come in. He did not come in through the door. Both times it says the doors were locked. And Jesus just appears in their midst and says to them, peace be with you. And in fact, in this passage, Jesus says, peace be with you 3 times. So this must be important that Jesus says this. And then after he says this, he shows them his hands and his side. You know, he's not doing this to brag about his scars. Anybody like to brag about their scars? You know, I have a few I like to talk about. I'm not going to tell you now, but some of us like to brag about our scars. That's not what Jesus was doing. He was proving to them that he wasn't a ghost. That this was Jesus as they had known him, true man and true God. And he's got the holes in his hands and feet and side to prove that he is still fully human. And so the next thing I have on the screen here for you on your notes, Jesus brings peace to their fear. And then the next slide is, and to my fears. You can go ahead and put your name in there. Whatever your fears might be, Jesus brings peace to you as well. So what, right? We still have fears, don't we? We still struggle in this life, and it seems like we never have peace. Does anybody else feel that way? Like we never have peace? There's always something going on. So what is peace exactly? And why should we care about it? Well, according to the dictionary, this is the definition of peace: freedom from disturbance, a state of tranquility or quiet. This is the way the world defines peace. This is not the way that Jesus is defining peace here. God does not define peace the way our world defines peace. And so this peace that Jesus brings tells us two things that I want to share here with you this morning. Number one, we have peace because all of our sins are forgiven. And that's huge. The reason that they are forgiven is because the price that the Father put on the sacrifice of his Son was huge. And because of that, that's why our sins are forgiven. The price was hefty. But the Father accepted his Son's sacrifice on that cross. And because of that, all of our sins are forgiven. When Jesus said on the cross, we just sang it, when Jesus said, "It is finished," he meant it. It's finished. Your sins are all forgiven. You have been saved because of his suffering, torment, and death on that cross. There aren't any sins sitting out there in your life. None that haven't been died for on the cross by Jesus. There's no sin that you may have out there that you think is way too heinous or egregious that there's no way that could be forgiven from your past. It's been died for by Jesus on the cross. There's no sin anywhere that hasn't been died for. This is why we have peace. Number two, the peace Jesus brings shows us we have peace because Jesus' death has victory over sin, death, and the devil. We are no longer shackled with this sin disease. We are no longer bound by the ways of this world. Yes, we still struggle in this world. We still have to deal with sin in this world and in our lives, this side of heaven. But we have peace because Jesus already defeated death and the devil and sin. Already, he's reigning on the throne. So when life makes no sense, God's peace sustains us. When things aren't going the way we think they should be going, God's peace comforts you. And his peace guides and directs you when you're struggling in this life. And you can take comfort from these words that I have on the screen from Philippians chapter 4 that says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And here it is. "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Whenever you are afraid of whatever it is, remind yourself of this. Take it to God, and that peace that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds. It'll sustain you, get you through whatever tough situation it is, whatever life has to throw at you. And then on the screen, the true peace is that you have been reconciled with God because of what Jesus did for you. See, guys, this is huge. Why is it so huge? Because we have a God that sacrificed his own Son so that you and I can be set free. And now because of that, God's wrath was taken out on Jesus on that cross, and we don't have to take it. Every other single religion that the world has come up with over the centuries, you have to do something in order to appease whatever God it is. Jesus took care of that for us. It's been done. It is finished. And Jesus brings this peace. And then, after he brings this peace to his disciples, he gives them a mission to go out and share this peace with other people. And that is our mission as well. And so last week, we handed out the little Jesuses, right? Did everybody get them? Well, I got a couple stories here for you from those little Jesuses. A husband and wife took their second, we gave out two little Jesuses, took their second one to their jobs. One of them was placed on a desk in an office. Not a Christian office necessarily. You know, it's out there in the secular world. But by simply placing that little Jesus on a desk, a conversation was brought up. Somebody asked him about this little Jesus. And what an easy opportunity to share a little Jesus. And then his wife, who teaches at a college, brought it to her college class. And they were so intrigued by it that the kids in that class came up and got them because they wanted to share a little Jesus with other people. You know, it's not always this easy to share Jesus. But sometimes it is. What is God calling you to step out in faith to do? How to share a little Jesus? Because there's a lot of people in this world that could use a little Jesus, right? And some could use a lot of Jesus. Because Jesus brings this peace. And then we get to these last three verses here in chapter 20. John says, Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Can you go back one slide again? This verse right here is good news to you and me because you know why? We are the those. We have not seen Jesus yet in person like the disciples had, but yet we believe because of the gift of faith that we've been given. The Holy Spirit that lives with us, that gave us this faith that we have. We believe in Jesus, right? This is who he's talking about here, Jesus. Blessed are those people sitting at Promise who have not seen and yet have believed. And then the next two verses here. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John could have written so much more. This could have been a much longer book. But it wasn't necessary for us to have all that. He gave us the words of life. And through John, God announces to you the good news that Jesus is his son. And that by faith in his name, we have life and salvation. Amen.